everything. And that's why I suppose it's called reality, is trying to take a look at the reality of life. The way I put it, Miriam, is this, that I think that particularly as a Catholic religious magazine, that there are a lot of lacunae in how people understand the church and what they see the church as being about. Very often the media is particularly lacking in its appreciation of what church teaching is, or what church doctrine is, or who are the people in the church. And so I see that one of the main aims of reality is to give people some sort of broader understanding of the narrative of the story of Catholic, what it means to be Catholic. Because being Catholic is not just a matter of doctrine, it's a matter more often of individuals, of people. So there are a lot of what I would call true life stories in it. We have a little issue every week, or every month rather, on an Irish saint. There's a series running at the moment on great American Catholics, because we know a lot about Americans, but we don't know very much about American Catholics. And so there's this series running of great American Catholics that this month, for example, includes a woman called Elizabeth Ann Seton, who was born just, I think, 4 years before the Declaration of Independence, and went on to found one of the first North American congregations of sisters. And she herself then was canonized and made a saint, Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. It's a fascinating story of a woman who grew up at that time when there wasn't any such thing as the United States of America, and then she puts her mark on the Catholic presence in America. So it's a fascinating read to read her story.
Yeah, and I suppose you're covering stories that maybe wouldn't get covered in the mainstream media, that you're reaching a niche that isn't out there at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think we are. I mean, every month there's two standard features called Reality Bites, which we try to give a survey of things that are happening in the life of the church in the world. For example, in this month's issue of that, what have we got? We have something about the liberalisation of the euthanasia law in Holland, which allows teenagers to be subject to euthanasia. There's something about a McDonald's restaurant being planned for just quite near the Vatican, for the discovery of a Christmas angel in the redecoration of the Church of the Nativity, for such things as the new rules on cremation. And then there's another section called the Pope Monitor, in which they try to follow Pope Francis, and he is no easy man to follow, believe you me. And so we have, for example, an item on how he celebrated the Reformation with the Lutherans in Sweden, another one on his Christmas lottery. He's instituted a lottery, and tickets are sold for it to raise funds for good causes. And then he has opened up his holiday home in Castel Gandolfo to tourists. He no longer goes there himself, and so it has become a sort of a museum, a tourist centre. But in doing that, we discovered a very interesting fact, that when the Nazis occupied Rome, the Holy See opened up Castel Gandolfo to anybody who wanted to live in a place of security, because it was outside the Italian state, being a Vatican property, and something like 12,000 people sought refuge in it. And it is estimated that about 36 babies were born in the post bedroom in Castel Gandolfo. You won't get that in the ordinary media, I suspect. Yeah, yeah. So it's that sort of thing. And then the general survey of articles that we have. I mean, there's a number of Christmas articles here. For instance, on Frank Capra, the director of that film that shows up almost every Christmas without fail, It's a Wonderful Life. Mm. Very profoundly Catholic film, you might think of it like that. And then another one on the first Nativity plays. Now, Nativity plays now we associate with primary schools, but the first Nativity plays were done in medieval England by the workers, by the members of the craft guilds, by the shepherds and so forth, and they put on their Nativity plays. And the scripts of some of those have actually survived. And there's an interesting article here on one of those Nativity plays by a young lady who is a professor of medieval English in University College Galway.
Very good. And where do you get those ideas from? Do people get in touch with you, or do you ask around, or how do you find out about these kind of these stories?
I ask around very often, or I meet people. I say, that would make an article. Would you ever think of it? And I also have, I suppose, my own background. I spent many, many years teaching theology, and latterly in Middlesbrough. I was in Middlesbrough for over 20 years. And a lot of my colleagues there are always very good for an article, particularly in the Department of History, Scripture, Liturgy. Also, my Redemptorist Conference can always be relied on for something. And then you meet people just in passing and you say, that's interesting. Would you write me an article on it? And the surprising thing is that most of them actually say yes. Mm. And they do. And so you keep building up the number of articles that are in supply. But it is still a bit of a hand-to-mouth existence. I've only been on it for just over a year, and I'm learning the skills. I'm learning both the things that I can do and also perhaps the things that maybe I shouldn't do and the things that actually won't work, because not every issue is as successful as the last one and not every article is as popular as the last one, but many of them are popular, and I've been surprised at the number of people who have actually commented on how interesting and how helpful they find it.
And you are paper. It's produced in paper. And, of course, print is something that in itself is struggling.
Yes, it is. And we have often been asked, do you do it online? We'd like to do it online, but the problem with doing it online is we would lose the money. We need the income from the paper edition to be able to cover the cost of production, because you need to give those who write for you a very, very tiny fee. It's derisory, in fact, what we give them. But at the same time, they put work into writing an article. You like to reward that and to honour it. And so without the printed edition, we wouldn't be able to survive. Someday we will get round to putting the edition on, maybe a selection of articles on it, on archive. For example, I have an idea myself that one of the things we might do to help schools who are facing this question of teaching religion to leaving cert and intercert, the students looking for material for essays, that we have a number of things that perhaps we could archive and put up. For example, a colleague of mine did a number of articles for me on Islam, on Christ in Islam, on the fast Ramadan in Islam, number of other articles on Judaism, and I suspect that we put some of those up, as well as some of the historical articles, particularly on things like the Reformation and that, they could actually probably be very helpful to people who are teaching religion and to students.
Mm-hmm. So it's a resource, basically.
Using it as a resource. Yeah. But we'll have to, in a sense, we still need the printed edition to be able to do that.
And where do you sell it, or do people subscribe, or how does it work?
It's subscription, I think, first and foremost. You can get a subscription which you take out annually through our Redemptorist Communications Office in Santry in Dublin. A lot of them go on sale in our Redemptorist communities. The subscription per annum is €18 through a promoter. Our €20 for a postal subscription, and then various things for the rest of the world. And then some churches and some bookshops also stock it. Not very many, because unfortunately even the number of Catholic bookshops is declining, going down very rapidly. In Dublin itself, two very good religious bookshops have closed within the past year or two. And in Belfast, the only Catholic bookshop we had has also gone out of existence. And so finding it in a bookshop is not that awfully easy. And we would encourage maybe churches perhaps to take it and make it available in the racks in the church. That's how we get a lot of our own sold in our own Redemptorist churches. Once upon a time, most religious magazines worked through promoters. Sadly, they're no longer there. Many of them were sisters who taught in schools. They have all retired and gone back to God. There was a wonderful lady called May Donnelly in Belfast who sold, I think, about 1,200 copies of Reality every month for donkey's years. I remember as an altar boy in Clonard that we had to bring them around to May on one of these little trolleys, and from her house she would distribute them to people that she worked with and to friends, and go out walking, pushing them through letterboxes to friends and neighbours. 1,200, sorry. It was an extraordinary figure for any single person to...
Astonishing amount, isn't it, for one person?
It's,
yeah.
It's extraordinary. Yeah. But, and May, we remember May, but there are also some promoters still around, and if anybody would like to promote I would strongly encourage it. I mean, they will even give you a starter pack of as many as you would like to take if you get in contact with us through our website. Redcoms, www.redcoms, all one word, redcoms.org. www.redcoms.org.